shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Hey, everybody, good morning to you. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank, and soon to be afternoon in the middle of the show. We always appreciate you joining us at lunchtime here on the Shrimp Tank, brought to you right here at Atlanta Business Radio X in the beautiful studios in downtown Sandy Springs. If you've never been here before, you ought to check them out. You ever thought about running your own radio show? It's a pretty cool place to do it. Now, each week on the Shrimp Tank, we bring you some of the brightest and best CEOs across the state of Georgia, and we bring on students and people that want to pitch their ideas from Kennesaw State University. We've got Rusty joining us today. We'll bring him on in just a minute. On the Shrimp Tank, we talk to CEOs about how to start and grow and run a successful business, and ultimately we find out whether or not their ideas or their businesses will swim or they will sink. On the Tank, as always, every week, I am joined here by my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive founder and director of the Kennesaw State, now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. I understand that the ceremonies are coming up here shortly.
Big time ceremony. You coming?
What is this all about? For people that don't know, universities often start different types of schools within them, Kennesaw State notwithstanding. And how does this whole work with naming rights? How does one get to actually be the naming rights for a division of a college? I want to know that. In fact, Lee Heisman wants to know that because
he's planning on donating
a big gift, a lot of shekels here. How does one get to be, sort of the founder? How does that work?
So, you can give a naming sized gift, which
is a naming sized gift? Though? Is
naming
that like a hundred grand?
Yeah,
is it a half?
No, it tends to, it depends on how.
Is it at least seven digits? It's seven figures?
Yeah, there you go. That's a lot of shekels.
It's a lot of shekels.
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
So somebody makes a sizable donation, and where does their name exactly go? Like in this whole induction ceremony, what happens exactly?
Yeah, they get we are now going to be known as, we are known as the Shore Entrepreneurship Center, more officially the Robin and Doug Shore Entrepreneurship Center, and all the signage, all the business cards, everything revolves around that.
And what did the Shores do? How did, were they entrepreneurs themselves?
Yeah, Doug Shore was made his money in the publishing business.
Did he really?
So publishing, sold out in the late 90s. So yeah.
Well, it's good to probably get out in the late 90s. I don't know. I don't really know where that business is headed. Although I will say I remember as a child graphically carrying my Holt mathematics books in the back of my, they're the ones that basically it was like three on the back and then four and then
absolutely.
Five.
Absolutely. I do remember that.
That and a Trapper Keeper MD kept everything together, right? Did it not?
And did you give up the Trapper Keeper?
No, I still
that would give me confidence as, if you were my financial advisor, you show up with a Trapper Keeper. That'd be awesome.
I think there's going to be a resurgence of Trapper Keeper. I mean, if I start walking around without that, we'll create the trend. We'll bring it back in the schools.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It seems to me in the schools today, they're not using that. They have it's gotten even smaller. I've noticed that they have these small satchels of Nike bags that are about this big. That are on people's backs. It's not even big backpacks anymore or knapsacks. They're tiny. I don't know where the books are. That's because there are no books, right?
Yeah, we are in a digital age. Absolutely.
So for people that don't know this, we love to talk about this in the beginning of every show. And I want to bring who is at Kennesaw State now is that it's a really wonderful thing because one way or the other, your children will always need to learn something about entrepreneurship. Whether they go to work for a company in the future or they choose to run their own business, there's nothing like learning entrepreneurial skills, and you can sort of learn them the easy way or the hard way. So what actually happens for a student? I'm curious to hear Rusty about what's going on with him, in the Kennesaw State curriculum when somebody gets into this now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship.
Well, they basically get the honor of being in a classroom with Chris Hanks. And from that point,
nicely done, Rusty. Thank you.
From that point on, nothing is normal. Nothing is set in stone and all that. It's going to be different every single day. There's no written exams, but there's every single day is a new test. And
every day is a test of character. Now,
but Rusty, yes. We understand in here, as we've done a number of these shows, that there actually are no tests, that the entire curriculum is basically learn as you go.
No written tests, but yes, as you go on, you're going to have to keep up with everybody and what he's trying to teach you and all. Every single day is a new lesson.
Yes, because we're not as interested in teaching entrepreneurship as we are in unleashing entrepreneurship.
Is that something that's going to go on the back of a jacket or something like that?
I do like
that.
So that was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, and you can feel free to use it because I want to bring this up. And I know this is a subject change, but you're on the Weather Channel and you can feel free to use that. So you're on the Weather Channel, which I find fascinating.
What kind of finance that's really guy? Awesome. What kind of finance guys on the Weather Channel?
Well, the ones who can make it rain.
Oh, man.
Is that why you're on the Weather Channel?
No.
Is the forecast?
No, but I will say I got to go back on in a couple weeks and I will credit you with that. She'll say, Ted Janker, the Oxygen Financial, and I say, I'll make it rain, baby, today.
That's right. That's the forecast. Rain. Get your umbrellas out, baby.
I'll give her the real forecast. Tonight's forecast, dark followed by darkness. That's the forecast. So
that's awesome, though. You get to go out, get to be on the Weather Channel, and you get to talk. You can give people advice via the Weather Channel?
Yeah, well, I want to bring on Dixie McCurley in a second, who's our guest today from Trusted CFO Solutions. But I want to tell you this, and this is what will lead into the Weather Channel. See, most entrepreneurs, they don't understand how to get media and media relations. And I understand this as good as anybody in this city right now. And you pay a PR firm often $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month with the hopes that they're actually going to get you on TV or get you into the newspaper. The fact is that most of the TV stations today are thinning out in the staff that they have today. They don't have as many worker bees. They have, you know, anchors and people that do the shows, but they don't have stories. And because content is more digitized today, you need more stories. And so if you're able to present a really good story, and you don't look like a dumbass on TV, I'll have to say that. There's no dumbass on TV. You have to be, this is not like sitting in the green room going on the Jimmy Fallon show. I mean, you're basically in there, it's 3 minutes or 4 minutes and you're out. And if you do it and do it professionally, you can get on NBC, ABC, Fox, or any of these other major stations, but you have to basically write the piece. See, if you can produce the pieces, you can get on TV anytime you want for no dollars at all. Now, you're not gonna get paid, but how much would it cost you to do a three-minute commercial on the Weather Channel? It would cost you $15,000. So it's really, really big stuff. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, though. And I could see ABC, CNN, which you've done, but the idea of pitching the Weather Channel, that's thinking outside the network
box. The one in a couple weeks is 6 ways to save money here in the fall.
Nice.
Number
so
one
as
is
the season changes,
open the window.
Yeah, open the windows. First tip.
All right, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank right here in Atlanta Business Radio X. I'm sitting here with my co-host Chris Hanks. I am your co-host Ted Jenkins. We're sitting here with Rusty, a student at Kennesaw State and a part-time aisle yeller at the Publix. So, by the way, if you spill something at the Publix, Rusty, what would you say if somebody spilled something at the Publix?
Excuse me, you need to clean that up.
I'd have him one time say, clean up aisle 5, you know? No. I'm telling you, there's big money in that. He's a voiceover business, too. Do you not think, Ryan, he'd be a voiceover
business? Oh, absolutely.
Well, we're going to bring on our CEO today, who's Dixie McCurley, who has a huge background in the finance and accounting industry. But think about this. When you grow a company and you initially do it, here's how most business owners do it. They don't do any books at all. They basically spend some money, they make some money, and then one day they say, I wonder how my company's doing. And inevitably, people will start this process that they might, and when I say might, I've seen a bunch that haven't, might do a QuickBooks. They might start to put some stuff in an Excel spreadsheet because they realize, A, I don't know how my company's doing, and B, am I actually going to owe some taxes? And as you get bigger, the question is, can you run your company and will you need a CFO or somebody to help you with the financials in the company? And Dixie has built a business out of this called Trusted CFO Solutions. So How did you come up with this idea to leave a major accounting firm and start a part-time CFO business?
Well, first of all, you described that perfectly. That's all clients that I'm talking to right now about bringing on. But most companies like to grow and they go through changes and they go through steps. So our clients are those who understand that they can't do it themselves anymore.
Why are businesses so worried, or has the paradigm changed about bringing on a part-time employee? You know, I think it's a foreign concept for a lot of people in the past of bringing on part-time staff as opposed to full-time staff. So how do you actually introduce that idea to a business owner to say, this is a good idea to have a fractional CFO in your company?
Well, I think businesses are changing so rapidly these days with all the digital content, everything they do. They can't be really stuck with that one person that's part-time that has their niche of what they do well. They're going to be growing so fast that they need a different type of CFO. They might just need a bookkeeper that day. But how you record sales transactions, how you record that kind of stuff, you need that team environment. And that's what we do. We have that 14-person team environment that we let them do what they do well, that run the business, grow the business, and we handle all those transactions for them. It brings a lot of peace of mind that they don't really have with a part-time person. And if you bring on another full-time person, that's your largest source of expense, salaries. And so we do it in a way very customized to what they need as they grow.
So you're getting to see a diversity of growing businesses. And what do you think is one of the biggest mistakes that they tend to make?
Resist change. I think it's very hard to be so passionate as an entrepreneur about your idea and what it is you want to create in business, but you're not able to change it as it grows. So we see that business under $1 million that's about to grow to $3 million, they need a whole different business plan to be able to take it then from 3 to 10 million. And so I think that they think that they can still do at $10 million how they did it at 1 million. And so resistance to change is, you know, the hardest thing for them to overcome.
Yeah, it is a tough thing because you have to become a different CEO at that level. And I had a CEO just tell me recently, it's like, wow, I just had a record year and I never want to go through that again. Because, you know, that can be really a challenge, right? And you have to all the change and all the challenge that comes with growth. And they do say more businesses die of indigestion than starvation. So that's a real challenging time.
And when you start doing CFO services for a business, you know, a lot of young entrepreneurs that may be listening to the show or even educated entrepreneurs, they hear this term margin. And, you know, when you go into a business, is there an ideal margin that a business should shoot for when they look at what they sell and what they make? There are some business owners that never think about margin at all. But is there an ideal way a business owner should be thinking about that?
Absolutely. I mean, that might be the second thing other than resisting change is that you don't run your business towards the standards. So all industries really have standards. You can beat the standards, you can come underneath the standards. But if you know at least that your margin should be 27%, if you had a 37% margin, you need to know if you're doing good or you're doing bad compared to your competitors. So you have to know what the standards are to be able to beat those, to be able to make it better, to be able to grow your business and outshine all of your competitors.
And it does matter on the industry, right? Because you have industries like the restaurant business that a single digit margin could actually be okay. And you have other right. businesses where it might be in technology that if they're not making 30 or 40%, they're not okay. So it's not one size fits all.
Right. There's so many variables around that. And that's really why you need that professional look, that professional CFO, professional CEO type of mentality. And that's where those entrepreneurships need to learn from the professionals that they work with, learn how to be better business people.
So how do you get that? I can imagine walking into a company who's successful and fast growing, and yet you are telling them that they need to change. I mean, how do you get them to change?
Well, first, I don't tell them that they need to change. You don't really lead with that. You really have to earn their trust. And I think is that as you earn their trust over and over again, that you know exactly what it is that they are trying to do. You understand their pitfalls. You understand where they need help and where they need issues. That's what we really service first is what are those things that we can help them overcome and then earn their trust and then really help them understand that, okay, let me show you what 2% waste is doing to your bottom line. And once you've already worked out that trust issue, they start to understand, okay, you're right. Our marketing is too high. Our revenue is too low, right? Our margins on that 2% can be money in their pocket. It can send their kids to college that year. So once you make it relevant for what's important to them, that's where I see we connect with those business owners.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on Atlanta Business Radio X. We come to you every Thursday live from 11:30 to 12:30 right here in the studios in Sandy Springs. And you can hear a replay not only of this broadcast, but all of our broadcasts on shrimptankpodcast.com. There's great videos, there's entrepreneur articles, and all sorts of nuggets that can help you as an entrepreneur. And one of the most beautiful things about this show is we get to bring on students from Kennesaw State and other students that pitch us ideas. We have Rusty on today, who's in the Kennesaw State program now. And so I was going to ask you, when you think about hearing about a business like this or starting your own business, what comes to your mind about the biggest challenge you think you'll face when you start a business?
Well, my strength is more towards the culture based. And so strategy, I'm still most certainly working towards. And the idea of failing hard, failing fast really does terrify me. But at the same time, it's the best way, as I've been taught, to learn. But whenever I think about starting my own business, it's the thing that really trips me up is the idea of going into a market that I've never actually dipped my feet into and not knowing what's going to come up. And so actually making the leap is the hardest part so far.
Fail hard, fail fast. Is that what they teach at Kennesaw State?
Fail hard, fail forward. You've heard that cliche as well.
Fail hard, fail fast, and fail forward. I've fallen forward a number of times in my life. I just fail forward. But
And to put Rusty on the spot, we learned that, you know, whether or not you succeed or fail, the same question always applies. So if I succeeded this week or failed this week, what question do we always ask ourselves?
Why?
All right, fail. No. Yeah, you failed forward. That's okay, Rusty. Yeah, so what did I learn from that? Because that's the fundamental root of all competitive advantage. Mm. Strategy wheel, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We're nerding out over here,
the
so sorry
strategy
about
that. Wheel.
Oh, yeah, but that's just way, yeah, we'd have to, we'd blow people's minds on the strategy
Sounds
wheel.
Sounds a we lot better than the it. Wheel of death, but that might be what it's like. Is that what
yeah,
it's
exactly.
like on there?
The strategy wheel is our guiding wheel, right, Rusty?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're sitting here with our guest, CEO Dixie McCurley of Trusted CFO Solutions. If you ever think about getting a part-time CFO, which is an interesting concept. And I was curious, we'll ask Dixie a couple more questions and we'll take a break. But I was wondering here about this idea of culture. You know, if you have a company and you have somebody who comes in and starts to look at the finances, how do the CEOs that you work with integrate the culture of having a part-time finance person in their business?
Well, we really want to partner with them and make it feel like, even though we are a virtual firm, we're not necessarily in their office all the time, that they feel like they can walk down the hall to talk to Betty the bookkeeper. If they don't get that sense,
is there
from
a Betty
us,
the bookkeeper? No.
Well, we are Betty the bookkeeper, but usually
it's
that's
a lot of
the
alliteration, Hanks, to have at a company. You know, it's.
Well, we call it that. We're Betty the bookkeeper. Anything you wanted to ask Betty at 5:30 p.m. at night, you know, you can still call and ask us. So we want to make them feel like we're there in their office, even though we're virtual. So we get on a lot of virtual meetings with them. We proactively call them. We're analyzing their books. We're giving them advice and telling them what they see, what we see, but also asking, what can you do more with this? And then and helping them find those answers to business questions.
And so what is your process when if I'm taking on a client and I really want to help them grow financially, because that's such a strain on cash and such a difficult and challenging time for business owners. Is there a specific process you go to? Like you look at ratios, you look at sort of percentage of sales. I mean, how do you, what process do you lead them through?
Well, I would say the first process is to listen. So usually business owners know where they need help. They really know what's run amok, especially from the first glance part of it. Business owners usually know more about their business than we do. So we really listen to them and then we help them analyze it and help ask those questions about what could they be doing better. They could usually tell us. It's just that they may need our help to do it.
Yeah.
So, for example, if they are selling inventory, but they're not tracking items that build that, they can tell us that. I don't know exactly what that thing costs that I just sold. You know, we would help them do how much does it cost if they're bleeding money. They could have great revenue, nothing on the bottom line, and we really help figure out what right. can we do to solve that problem. Cash flow may be a huge problem for restaurants, for other cash-heavy intensive businesses. And how do you solve cash flow? You really have to understand the balance sheet, the income statement, to be able to understand the cash flow statement as well. So we teach them, we hold meetings like we hold workshops. So we're there to let them learn our craft in their business over time and really customize that for them.
Hey, we're going to take a break from our sponsors right here on the Shrimp Tank on Atlanta Business Radio X. When we come back with Dixie McCurley, CEO of the Trusted CFO Solutions, we're going to find out the single best way to beat the IRS. We're going to be right back after a break right here on the Shrimp Tank.
Ted, does it seem like the more money you make, the more money slips through your fingers? Why is it that you make six figures but seem to have six figures worth of bills? Now it's time to get a plan. Set up time today to start your 21-day budget cleanse. Go to oxygenfinancial.net to schedule a complimentary meeting now. That's oxygenfinancial.net to get started today. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member of FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
Hey, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank right here on Atlanta Business Radio X. Boy, SEC, thank you for having the 19 pages of the disclosure on every commercial right now. We're sitting here with Dixie McCurley, who is the CEO of Trusted CFO Solutions. Sitting here also with Chris Hanks every week, who's the co-host. And he is the man. If you want to talk and learn anything about Kennesaw State, he's the executive director and founder of now soon to be the Shore. I want to say it's now the Robin and Doug Shore, right?
Absolutely.
How did Robin's name come first? Was there like a trade-off?
Yeah, he's
here?
A smart man. Yeah, he was absolutely. A smart he made man. It very clear that, you know, wife comes first. Absolutely.
I want them on the show, and I want to get down to that question. That's yeah. The plead the fifth question there. Why did Robin's name come first and Doug's come second? Nonetheless, making that kind of size of a donation, a lot of you may not know this, but one of the original schools that was in entrepreneurship here in the Southeast was Florida State. And recently, there was a huge donation for their Center for Entrepreneurship. And now Kennesaw State being the first school in the entire state of Georgia to have a degree in entrepreneurship. Is this
yeah,
not true? The first
it is
one.
True. And if it wasn't for Florida State, I could say the entire Southeast. And so they frustrate me a little bit.
So, yeah.
You know.
I get it.
Because Southeast sounds
but
way
But it's only a matter
state.
Of time before you pound them into the dirt, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, absolutely.
It's just a matter
yes.
of time right
no,
now.
No, we are. No,
strategy
we,
wheel.
Well, we will. Thank you, Rusty. Yes, our strategy wheel is a turning. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. But no, we are committed to leading entrepreneurship in the Southeast for both students, educators, and business owners. So
they've been teaching those football players a lot over the years about entrepreneurship. You know, lift free steaks from... different grocery stores, free shrimp, stuff like that.
There you go.
All kinds of stuff.
That's a form of bootstrapping.
Entrepreneurship 101.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we got it out here. You know, it's not always politically correct, Ryan, but, you know, it kind of is what it is here in the Shrimp Tank. I wish I could control what I could say, but I don't, so I just say it. That's how it works here on the Shrimp Tank. We have got Rusty joining us, who's a student also at Kennesaw State. We get to our next segment here at Dixie, which is hot or not. Now, I brought up this thing. I teased it before we took the break. About the IRS and the best way to beat the IRS. Truth is, I don't know if there's really a way to beat the IRS, but I do know this, when you own a business, what I have found over the years, and I'm wondering, and this is the hot or not, is that many business owners have this fear of God that CPAs put into them. CPAs really like to say this all the time. If you do that, you'll get audited. Now, I've learned as a business owner over time that there are a lot of things that I've never seen audited. In fact, in 25 years, I've never seen a home office for somebody that declares that get audited. I'm not saying it hasn't. I just haven't seen it. But a lot of CPAs will say, if you take a home office deduction, you're going to get audited. Now, I'm 25 years into doing this, and I've still never seen it. So is it hot or not to be aggressive with your expenses inside of a business? Where's that sort of meltdown point for a business owner?
But for me, it's about being prepared and tracking your thoughts on it. So always have proof of that you've analyzed, you know,
documentation, right?
You've analyzed what it is, you've recognized it, and you've thought to plan for something. So usually if the IRS is coming after you and you say, well, I considered the home office deduction, here's what I did around it, regardless of if it's right
That's
or
right.
not, they're probably not going to pursue it because you have some sort of theory that you've used. Now, if you go, what is the home office deduction? That's how not to beat
right,
the IRS.
Right. And there are some rules that the good thing about having like a part-time CFO is a lot of times these rules change, right? The IRS may make standard deductions now for a home office deduction. And,
right.
and a lot of business owners need a CFO because they don't even know the rules.
Right. Absolutely. And that's just one of a tiny little bit of what a CFO can do for you. To me, the best way to do it is be prepared to know where you are at every single month of the year. So don't be surprised by the end of the year taxes. Know your processes, know the procedures that you have in place for home office deduction. Just make sure you're prepared and documented.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So hot or not, daily key performance indicators?
I think they're very hot.
Why? And do you have favorite ones or...
I do. For us, it's number of transactions is an indicator and also number of client calls. So when we get calls from clients, usually it's because we haven't been proactive enough to give them what they need. So for us in our business, we track number of calls per day from clients. we encourage clients to call us, but we know we're doing our job best when we've already answered all of their questions. Hmm. So that key performance indicator is how our operations run in our office, of how we can be better as a virtual outsourced accounting department for them.
Russ, you don't have one today, huh?
No, not
hot or
not.
Do you recommend business owners hire family members?
You know, there's two sides of that, of course. I think that if you've got the right relationship with your family member, it can be very, very beneficial. My niece actually works with me in our business, and she is absolutely my right-hand person. The loyalty and trust, I think, that you can feel with your family members is great. I've also seen it where family members are the ones that will stab you in the back, steal all of your money. I've seen clients go through that. When businesses break up, usually the family members, it's the hardest between those. That's some of the other things that I've seen with clients is that that level of breakup can be harder sometimes with a family member because it affects your personal life.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Awkward.
Yeah.
All right. Hot or not, ratio analysis. Is that still a hot thing to do, or are there better tools to analyze?
I think it's very hot, but you're talking to someone who only wants to really do ratio analysis for all of our clients. I mean, I want to know if their business is throwing off cash operationally or if they've got an investor who's having to put in the money.
What's the most underrated ratio?
Only a professor would ask that.
Most underrated.
You know, listeners are on the edge of their seat right now, Ted. Everybody's on the edge of their seat because that was the question that everybody wanted to hear but was afraid that wouldn't be asked.
I was thinking three parts vodka, one part, you know, something like that. But
yeah, I would say so. But you need a dash of bitters in it too as well. You know, that's a hard question to answer. It depends on the industry.
Gotcha.
Daily cash ratios, percentage of hours spent versus average check numbers for restaurants. So it depends on the business. I could tell you really what those ratios are. Each one's a little different.
Yeah. Okay.
I was just saying there are a lot of business owners that don't know the ratios of their business at all. And you ask them about their business, they hardly even know if they're making a profit, right? But the one big one I've seen is a lot of people don't know the cost for acquisition. So when they build marketing plans, they can't tell you what it costs them to acquire a customer.
Yeah.
What they'll say is, I'll get a lot of referrals.
Yeah. Or the lifetime value of a customer.
You know, it's like, I mean, what does it cost you? Right. The lifetime value.
So, yeah. Both very important, Rusty. Make a note. Lifetime value, cost to acquire customers.
All right. Let's do two more hot or nots. We'll take a break and we'll get to our plead the fifth question. A hot or not here. Should business owners start out and hire 1099s to start? Is that a hot or a not?
I think it's a hot.
I
think to take out the headache of payroll processing and let them deal with it. If you write your plan to help educate the 1099s on what they need to do when you're so small, I think it can be a very flexible situation for business owners that can help fuel the growth of the business.
Hmm. I like that.
All right. Hot or not, transparency in sharing financial numbers with employees.
I think it's hot. All of my experience makes me take a deep breath at doing that. It scares me, but I believe that if you have the right culture, you have the right people, you have the right talent, you need to make them a partner in your business and show them how we succeed together.
No. Awesome.
All right. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on Atlanta Business Radio. I actually come to you live every Thursday from 11:30 to 12:30. Thanks for joining us during your lunchtime. Hopefully you get some great nuggets today from Dixie McCurley from Trusted CFO Solutions. You can always hear a replay of her first segment and everything that we talked about today on ShrimpTankPodcast.com. There are great articles on there on being an entrepreneur and seeing other videos of successful entrepreneurs so you can not make as many mistakes when you're growing and running your business. We're going to take a break from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to have a plead the fifth section with Dixie. And we want to find out the worst CFO that she's ever fired. We'll be right back here on The Shrimp Tank.
Are you tired of band-aiding your technological needs? Is your network security up to par with industry standards? Welcome to Secure IT from Savant. Secure IT is a monitoring solution that allows the team at Savant to proactively support all of your technical needs. Take the time upfront to learn your network so that you can resolve any issues. So why wait? Take the worry out of technology. Call now to schedule your free network evaluation, 770-438-6240, and ask for Lee.
You always have to ask for Lee at Savant there. Look, if you need technical support, he's the guy to do it. We're right here on The Shrimp Tank. on Atlanta Business Radio X. I'm Ted Jenkin, your co-host, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the soon-to-be Shore, the Robin and Doug Shore, I should say, as I do that, Center for Entrepreneurship, and sitting here with Rusty, the world's greatest radio voice. So we have to have him talk here more today. I'm telling you, if your future blows up and anything else that you do, and I'm not saying it will, I'm just saying if it does, I think radio is a pretty good option for you. I really do.
Well, I'm flattered.
Well, and his voice, when I first met him, when he first took my class, was not that deep. It was the fires of entrepreneurship that forged really? That great voice.
Yes, it was.
I'm also thinking potentially PA announcer for the Hawks or something like that. You know, something.
Who knows?
You've got to use that to your advantage somewhere, and we got to think about that.
Use what you got.
Sales.
I think it could be pretty good in sales here. And we're sitting here with Dixie McCurley, who's with Trusted CFOs. If you need a part-time CFO for your business, by the way, if you don't have a CFO, and I look, we Lee and I have a friend that we know who thinks he can do the books for all of his businesses. Very, very disconcerting. You know, if you're an owner and you're doing all the books for your business and you think you know it all, you're definitely doomed. How can you be spending time on your books and growing your business at the same time? I don't get it. What you do need to know is you need to know what's happening in the business so you can make the best decisions. And I think we'll start out with the first one on here for Plead the Fifth, that is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
I think yes. I mean, I think it keeps life interesting. I think it's something new every day. I think life is about change and growth. And entrepreneurs, I mean,
we could scale down a notch and just say get married, period. You know, it's, you know, not even an entrepreneur.
Well, I say yes to that.
You do?
Yes.
Would you do a prenup or no? No.
No. No. Only
Rusty's
nothing.
An engaged go man, so he's speaking from experience right now.
This is the first bad idea you have. You know,
Everything worth having is worth a risk.
I like it.
Wow.
All right. You say nicely that once you have a couple $1 million, then you might not say that.
What's the most questionable thing a client's ever asked you to do?
Hide expenditures in the expenses of the company that were personal.
Are you sure we can't write off that pool? It's $100,000.
Or that Maserati.
What?
Yeah.
It's not. I thought those were 6,000 pounds and you could write them off. No, it's the.
Exactly. That's what I mean. That's what clients ask you to do.
It's a 6,000 pound. I have a couple of heavy things in the trunk there, you know.
Right.
The truth is, I think I don't really know exactly what it is, but I think if your vehicle is a certain amount, you can. Well, there was a timer. I don't know if it still exists. You could expense it all off. No,
it's true. And I'm not a tax expert at all. I mean, my forte is systems. So don't hold me to any tax advice you hear from me today.
So how do you handle it? Do you say no or?
Well, I handle it about. You know, we do need to look at our engagement letter because we will give you the best practices advice and we will help facilitate that decision for you. But ultimately, it's yours and you're responsible for it. That's how we really approach that.
Now, not one of yours necessarily, but have you ever seen a CFO embezzle money from a company?
I have way too often.
Wow. So what have you done in those situations?
Way too often. Yeah. I mean, I've seen CFOs who've been embezzling that make more than the business owners make. So one year it was $118,000 the CFO embezzled, and the owners that year made $30,000. So that was a hard one to swallow, but that happens all the time. And that in our profession is what we see. So how do you avoid that? That's one thing we do is take that off, that burden off of the client. You don't want that in-house person who, you know, it's a huge risk.
We saw a nonprofit the other night that basically had not filed what's called to be their 990s for a whole number of years. And they couldn't figure out what was happening to their financials until they realized like the treasurer, but part-time something else was making checks to cash, to cash.
Absolutely. Or to Capital One and they don't have a credit card. So there's all kinds of scenarios, the way that people do things, you know, delete that from the CD that comes from the bank to back up the checks and all kinds of stuff like that. We see, we go after that. We help clients find it.
Well, you mentioned that you've caught multiple employees embezzling money and all. Have you ever had to blow the whistle on an entire organization?
Not necessarily entire organization. We hope that we can weed those people out before they get to be our clients.
Oh,
for sure. I mean, we don't care to work with questionable clients. We really want clients who want partners who do things right. There's not to say we don't make exceptions on some things that they may do wrong, but we really want to help guide and steer and teach them. Like I said, a workshop on how to run business. If they have questionable scruples, they won't be our client for very long. I'm more than happy to fire them to get them out of our culture and our organization.
Is it to protect you or them?
Which part protect?
protect your company from being involved with a
absolutely. I mean, as long as the business owners know that we won't partake in any of that, which is what I think our values and our beliefs are, they're good with not letting that continue and us not letting it continue as our client if they do let that continue.
Chris, why don't you hit her with one more?
All right. What annoys you most about your clients?
It's the same thing that annoys me about me the most, which is I think that I know everything. And I have that tendency, but I've learned to be open throughout the years because I've learned so much from my business owners. And I've learned how to be a better accountant and how to be a better CFO through them. And so I think that when I get them to open up and trust and ask questions of how I can, as in my profession, help them be better business owners and how they can help us be better profession, that's where we really get that connection and that link.
So for people that listen to the show today and they want to get in touch with you, they're thinking, hey, I might need somebody to look at my books. I might need somebody to start doing some ratio analysis and helping me be smarter about my finances and my company. How can somebody get in touch with you and learn more about what you do?
Well, I think maybe the easiest way is my name is pretty memorable, Dixie. And you could even Google that, Dixie CFO Atlanta. And you're going to
find... Is that
what
it is, Dixie CFO Atlanta?
Yeah.
I like that.
There, you know, three of those words, it should pop up, Trusted CFO Solutions. But on our website, we really talk a lot about what we do, how we take clients off of QuickBooks and into a more structured program. So it's pretty easy to find me with just our name. We are around Cumberland Mall areas, our office, but we're out and about in Atlanta a lot, networking and meeting new potential clients.
Well, thanks for coming on the show today. I want to thank Rusty for joining us today. I was thinking about this during the show. Again, entrepreneurship, I know if you do it, you're going to succeed. If not, how about a tarot card reader? I think he would do very well at that. You'd be very afraid of the advice that would come back after that, no?
Especially if he wore a turban or some type of head.
You head just took the thing. Sword of death.
The priestess says.
Oh, my goodness.
As always, Hank's a pleasure having you with us today. And congratulations on all the success that's happening at KSU. Well-deserved. Great stuff going down there at the... Soon, I guess it's coming up this weekend, right? Is that when the...
it's official.
It's official now?
It's just the celebration of it, but it is official, Ted.
The ceremony. Well, I like it. You got to check it out. If you haven't been down to KSU, things are blowing up there. Check it out. Next week, we're going to have on Jim McCarter, who's not only been a longtime entrepreneur, but he's on the board.
He is on our board.
For the Center of Entrepreneurship. And I understand a finalist, right, in the KSU mentoring program?
Yeah, his student that he mentored went far, but not as far as Mr. Heisman's.
Well, Lee knows how to manipulate the system. That's the key here. But very good. We had to talk about that a little bit more on our next program. So we're not going to be here next week. We're all away doing things. And we'll join you in a couple weeks back with Jim McCarter right here on the Shrimp Tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.